What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. As usual, I'm Kyle Corbus. Today's a great day. One, it's beautiful outside. It's about 12 o'clock right now, as of recording, where I'm from, where I am. And I've been up since like 7 o'clock because I went and played like a quick 9 holes of golf. Not sure why. I'm not like really a morning person, but today I guess I was. So I'm feeling great. I'm feeling fantastic, but I get to welcome in a great guest today. A guy that's just a legend in the songwriting community, in the songwriting world. You've heard his songs and he's a fantastic artist in his own right. CMA nominated, ACM nominated, Grammy, Tony nominated, BMI Songwriter of the Year, Skip Ewing. Dude, thanks for coming to hang out with me. I'm excited.
Hey, me too, Kyle. How'd you hit him though? That's the question is, how did you hit them?
Not that well, and I never usually do.
Not that straight and not that long. Is that what you're saying?
the way I base it out is that as long as the ball goes straight, I'm okay. So right. I based it on how many golf balls I lost throughout the day. Now today I lost a few more because I've been trying, right? So I've been playing golf for probably like 10 plus years, and I never like took any lessons. It was just something I picked up when I was in, when I was like 14 or whatever it was, 13. And I just decided to just try and play a few times a year, and which I do. But now I'm like, my friends are playing a lot. So like, I kind of want to play a lot, but they're a lot better than me. So I like try and like tweak my swing a little bit, and I try and like get the ball to go certain places. And because of that, it's, obviously it's obviously a work in progress, and I slice and I chop and balls go, they look like they're going straight and then they hit the woods. It's a mess.
Yeah, man.
But yeah.
So you're a golfer.
That's
golf right there.
That's right. <Exactly. laughs> Couple club throws
to go the way you want it to.
That's right. A couple club throws, a little frustration. That's about it. But it's all good. It's all in fun. And it's funny because for a sport that's supposed to be like the least stressful sport, I feel like it's so stressful.
Now, see, I don't think it's stressful. I mean, I don't think it's a non-stressful sport. I'm not a golfer, but I'm not a golfer because I tried golfing and I hated it. So it's that simple, man. And plus, I'm in a good space now because we do have a golf course in Wyoming. We have more than one golf course in Wyoming, I'm sure. But I'm really just not interested.
Yeah.
I got other things to do besides golf makes me too frustrated. But the other part of it is I know that if I decided I wanted to play golf, then I'd have to be all the way in, man. I'd have to get good. I'd have to go, okay, I'm a golfer. But I've chosen some other things to try to get better at than golf.
I think that's totally fair. Are you a really competitive person?
I'm somewhat. I would say I'm competitive, but I'm more competitive with myself. I like to I'm good at setting goals. Or if I set a goal and then I understand why I would like to meet that goal and how it benefits, a lot of times it's not just how it benefits me, but often how it benefits everyone.
Sure.
Then those are the kind of things that make me happy, So in that way, I'm definitely competitive, but in another way, I try not to be competitive, like in normal life things, like in the music industry, in the music industry, it's easy to be competitive with almost everyone, like on the chart or how many songs or, all these sorts of ways that you can compare. And, I like to work at not doing that.
Yeah.
I think it brings more unhappiness than happiness. And I think it can sabotage success, and it can even sabotage your efforts. And, so I try not to fall into that trap. I was
How do you get to that point where you don't do that, right? Because like you've been doing this for a while and you're very successful, and obviously that shows. And it's I ask that for the people that are listening that are maybe young, prospective songwriters, but I also ask that for myself because, I compare myself to other people all the time, and I think that's just human nature, right? But how do you work on not saying, okay, like I can't really like it, because obviously it is competitive, but like how do you not look at the next guy and say, man, like how is this person doing this? And I like, how do you get in that mindset where you can kind of focus on yourself and tunnel vision, just your own goals? And like you said, you set goals for yourself, but how do you stay focused like that?
Well, you know, I wish I could say that it's like something you can flip a switch and do. Okay. I said, this is what I try to do. I didn't say this is what I do. Okay?
Fair enough.
Only because I'm not, you know, I'm not someone who can just do that. I mean, it's, we still have human nature to contend with. What I mean is that there's sometimes some like unnecessary energies that are spent that way. The truth is that I have found it in a way kind of just on my walk through life, I've got pretty much one thing that I try to do. And my sentence that I distilled everything down to is, to the best of your understanding, do the most loving thing. That's it for everything. And, you know, and the more you understand and the more that you work on that, for me anyway, then I find that I make better decisions, but I make more accepting decisions. And I make, you know, as you know, I left Nashville to work with horses. And doing that really helped me to try to imagine the world from a whole different view. And I've worked and worked and worked on that concept. So part of it is to go ahead and celebrate someone else. There's a difference if you see someone else's success and go, well, that should be me. Or, you know, you're number five in the chart. Somebody else is number two in the chart. Well, I should be higher. I've got to beat that guy. That's a little different than going, that guy's in the second in the second spot in the chart or whatever. That's awesome. Yeah. That guy's doing good. And you know, whatever's happening there is strengthening what we've got. And I'm still part of it. But that all changes, man, like clouds in a windy sky, dude. I mean, you know, it keeps changing. And so I guess in a way, go ahead and making it about someone else's success and, you know, not making it about what's not happening for me, because usually if we compare, we're either sitting in a, that should be me,
yeah,
or I'm, you know, look how I got there. I'm, you know, I'm number one or whatever. Both of those things are like exclusive to yourself. And so I like to celebrate other people's successes and then just keep going. If there's something if I see something I can improve upon, great. Yeah. But I don't have to compare it to someone else. I just had a song that I know this is a kind of a strange segue, but I released a song recently called Knots. Mm-hmm. And that has a whole different way of looking at comparisons.
Yeah.
And that the comparison that Knots took is it's really about someone. I didn't get super specific about what, you know, what the song addresses exactly. Although I think most people, when they listen to it, they will understand that it touches on mental health. It could touch on, you know, suicide prevention, self-awareness, self-efficacy, PTSD. Mm-hmm. But in that, I said, I don't compare my suffering. That's different. And the reason I say it's another place where I think, like, for instance, the guy that I was writing about in that song, or at least the character that I imagined, was a strong person who had some really tough things happen to them. And I think there's a lot of us that are that way. And to see someone go, man, my life is hard, but I am going to do my best. There's almost always an awareness in that person of others. And when he says in the song, when I wrote, I don't compare my suffering, we're all just different shades of black and blue. What I meant was we can do the same thing. We can compare, you know, the negativity. Well, my situation is worse than yours, so I'm more deserving of, you know, you know, everything from funds to attention. But it's really how we experience it. I mean, you know, something terrible can happen to one person. Something terrible can happen to a different person, and they will handle it differently.
Yeah, totally.
And so it's how it happens to us, and that's the good and the bad.
Yeah, totally.
And so I think that effort in its own way is maybe a little bit it's to be respected in that side too. It's kind of like both, yeah, to make that effort. Where are we the same? I like that too. Where are we the same, man?
Right.
And you know, so whether it's on the high side, look how great I'm doing, or you know, I could be doing better, but you're
work
doing
together.
All
right. Yeah.
There's they just don't have to be laced. They yeah. don't have to be, you know. So I think that's an effort. That's
I love that, man. I love that because my biggest thing is like I love to watch my friends succeed, no matter whatever they're doing. It could be people that are in music. It could be doing other things. I love to watch my friends succeed, right? You know, I think that's the coolest thing in the world, because at the end of the day, like, your friends have been there from the beginning, and whether you have known them a long time or not, like, they're still really important people in your life. And it's really cool to watch them grow and succeed. And you're right. Like, I think by human nature, like, you do compare yourself to other people, but that doesn't mean, by shifting that, like you said, into watching these and celebrating these people, it changes your mindset a little bit. I totally agree. Now, when it comes to Knots, right, I think that song's fantastic. Part of the reason why I love it is all those things you talked about, because I think that in today's country music, or music in general, there's not enough people speaking about the things that people go through, right? We'll broaden the term, whether that be mental health or, like you mentioned, PTSD, things like that, right? A few weeks back, I had a conversation with a buddy of mine on here about that whole aspect of music and mental health, and it was incredible, because, you know, I think a lot of us struggle with it. I definitely do. You know, I have a lot of anxiety, just like probably most of the world. It's a very common thing, and I think that it's great to have a song that caters to things like that. And, you know, the song's called Knots, and a big part of the song is how tangled up life can get, no matter what, right? Life keeps moving on, but there are so many different aspects of life that might hold you back from doing one thing or another. And that doesn't mean you can't overcome it. It just means that it's a bump in the road. And I think that's really important that you said, you know, two people might go through the same thing, but might handle it totally differently. And that's every day, right, man? Like, that's the epitome of just mental health and struggles of life. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think it's great. I love it. It's a great song. It was produced fantastically by obviously Kyle Lennings, who's worked with Randy Travis and Dan Seals, George Jones, great producer. But it's a fantastic song. I love it. I really do. I think the message is great. I'm really glad you put it out. Really am.
Thanks, man. Well, I think that, you know, you touch upon something important, and that's everyone. Yeah. I mean, mental health is one of the ways that we have to be healthy. And sometimes, you know, for so long there were stigmas, and I think there still are to a certain degree. There are stigmas about different types of things we call mental health. But even if we just say mental wellness.
Yeah.
You know, that could be something that we incorporate. It's the same thing we do, you know, we do things for all aspects of our bodies and our minds, and they're, you know, they're connected. And yeah, I think I don't have anything on which to base it except for my life experience and being around other people, you know, what I know, but so far as I can tell, everyone struggles to some degree, and some people struggle with things they don't even know that they're struggling with. And totally. Others are struggling with things they've been told that they're struggling with, and still trying to figure it, you know, to figure it out. And some of that is very, very difficult. And also, you know, the struggle itself, the effort is to be respected.
Yeah.
Not sometimes the struggle that someone has, what they're struggling with, is different than how they're struggling with it, or how they're working with it, or how they're living with it, how they're, the effort that they are making to contribute. And I've found some people who have really been through a lot. I mean, I've done a lot with my life, dude. You know, I've traveled and you know, gone to places to see humanity on purpose. You know, gone to India, gone to South America, done just to you know, to learn about people, and the effort that I see people make, I respect. When I go, man, not only okay, all right, what that person is struggling to live with or overcome, that's one thing, but how the effort that they're making, how awesome is that? But it's this, you know, how we were talking about celebrate someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and some other songs that I've written, one of the other things is the effort of loving. I know that, and I'm stretching. I don't know, because it's not necessarily like something that we would say in country music, the effort of loving, but there's an aspiration there. Man, it's like, if you want to love someone better, it's not like you can just go, okay, I'm gonna love you more. It's more skillfully. Yeah. And can you work on what you have? Can you work on that skillfully? are you courageous enough to seek assistance for that? Like if someone's going, okay, you know what? I'm not doing well. That's affecting other people. I'm going to make this effort. Tell me what I can do to work on me. Cause that's a pretty noble effort, I think. Sure. And if you go, what can I do? And that's a question I like to ask in relationships. What can I do to make it better?
Yeah.
And if I don't know, okay. But if I know, then I can say, okay, am I able to do that? Can I work towards that? So it's the effort that someone makes that's so amazing that we can decide to do that as humans. We can decide to say, that's not serving our relationship well. I didn't realize that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't being as attentive to as I should, or I wasn't being as present, or I didn't realize, I didn't even see that. I didn't know that you were struggling with that. And I didn't offer you the space to do what you needed to do in this. I sort of squelched that or whatever it is, you know, and I'm able to say, I'm sorry. And, you know, tell me is there something specific, you know, that I can do to do better with that? Yeah. And then actually put it into practice. That is what I think, that can heal, that can cause there to be a significant cohesiveness. But when someone sees you make that effort, I'll tell you something that I believe in a big way. Another thing I did was martial arts for a long time, you know, when you, you know, as you're working, there's like the soft and the hard of it, the yin and the yang of it, you know, when all of that comes to play, all of it comes to play. It takes a lot of effort to learn all of that stuff, right? But part of it, when I was getting higher and higher in martial arts, which my dad was amazing. My foster dad had my adopted father. He was the head of a martial arts system. And as we got higher, the more we learned about healing, the more we learned that every place that something could hurt, it could heal.
Yeah.
Every place where there was, you know, and so looking for spaces to heal instead of hurt is also a really cool, looking at it that way. Man, we just found a place where our relationship can strengthen. How amazing is that? And we're all in those places all the time. It's another spot with horses that I learned. Like I have to watch and I go, okay, you don't experience the world the same way I do. So I had to start just saying, okay, where are you feeling me? Like, if I walk around you, where do you feel me? And that's a weird, and again, I'm always going to push it, but that's what I do with writing too. I'm always just going to push it. Keep learning about that. But anyway, the willingness to celebrate, but then also just go, yeah, how can I do that more? Yeah. How can I do that more skillfully? How can I be more loving without leaving myself out of the equation?
That's awesome. The attentiveness is so important, right? Like you want to make sure that, cause you know, like everything you just said, like in relationships, I feel like you hyper-focus, and like you said, sometimes you don't realize you're doing something, and that's probably cause you're not focusing on yourself and X other person, and you're just kind of tunnel visioned. Right. So, but I think that's really cool. And also I gotta say, like, I love that there's, a lot of these other, passions of yours that is not just music driven, right? Like there are so many people that, you know, eat, sleep, breathe music, and that's great. Right. Like, I love that. I think that's really cool. But like, obviously, no, like we're going to talk about the move from Tennessee to Wyoming and talk about that. But the martial arts thing, like I would never have known that. Right. Like that's like, what kind of martial arts was it?
I studied Taekwondo and I studied Goju Shorei karate and weapons.
Cool.
And now I've kind of moved into Tai Chi pretty heavy. I studied Qigong for a while, which is not, people wouldn't say that's necessarily a martial arts, but it is. And Tai Chi, I just love it because it's something beautiful that I can practice and go, it's a constant. I'll never master it. It's like, it's like, you know, as much as I can work on it, it's better for me. But so I've loved it. I've loved it for a long, long time.
And that's very balance driven, right? Like, isn't that like a lot of mind and body and balancing those two things? Isn't
absolutely.
That?
Okay, yeah. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Really, a balance of energy, you know, works with your, what's called the, you know, the chi in your body, the energy, grounding, and And it can sometimes sound what some people call woo-woo a little bit, you know what I mean? but really, some of these things are really more concrete. I mean, you know, it's your energy center, and you know, it's the flow of it. It's really quite. I find it nourishing is what I find it. If I spend time doing that, there's a meditative space to it, and it does leave me feeling grounded. I can carry that into my life. It's one of the things that I learned about martial arts is a lot of these things are not separate, Kyle, yeah. For at least from my experience, you know, you don't do martial arts and do music. They're not necessarily separate. So for instance, even like Knots, the song, I'm coming back to that. I didn't mean to, but you know, in the song, I said, you can't see the gravel in my shoes, or you can't feel the gravel in my shoes, which was a way to illustrate the now of what was hurting. Like, so when you say, you can't see my future, know my past, or feel the gravel in my shoes, the gravel in my shoes is right now, and everybody's got it.
Yeah.
Well, in martial arts, there's all kinds of things that happen to you. But for instance, this is a way that they're connected. What I learned there, what I learned about people, what I learned about horses, actually, it's all in my writing, because I'm going to try to carry that to where I am. I try to offer something that's the best I have to offer. If someone is trusts what I do enough to listen, hopefully there will be something there. And I bust my tail to do that as skillfully as I can. I know that it's not going to be, some of this stuff is not going to be on the hit country charts right now, but I didn't make the record to try to do that. I don't even have the budget to do that. But I think if I'm given a chance and people listen, that they may hear that, they're going to find some things in there that I tried to offer. Sure. But in martial arts, my Taekwondo instructor lived in Nashville. My adopted father, who was the head of Goju Shore, the karate, he lived in Nevada. Well, I was going to train or test for my fourth degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Jeez.
Right. And I can't remember if I was already fifth degree in Goju Shore or not. I don't remember. I ultimately got higher, and you know,
right.
But so he sent a message to my Taekwondo instructor that at the end of my training, he told her to get a cup of road gravel, road gravel, pea gravel off. And that I was to pour that into my shoes. Now, when we work on different certain floors or work a lot, we'll sometimes put on shoes. They sort of look like sneakers, but they're real smooth on the inside. I mean, on the sole, and they're, you know, they just slip on martial arts shoes. I put gravel in those shoes. That's what he told me to do. Put them back on and then do a form that way. Well, he knows me. He knows I'm going to try to do the form. So I did a very long form that was not Taekwondo. I did it because it was Goju Shore, because he asked me to do it. Well, you know, honestly, if you imagine doing a jump kick or a spinning kick where you're pivoting on the rocks that are inside your shoes and stuff, you see what your reaction is. I don't even have to talk about it. But when I did it, yeah. I knew it was going to hurt. I knew it was going to hurt. But I just did it because it was a challenge. At first, to me, it was a challenge. Well, when I finished the form, the whole school stood up and clapped. I mean, so for me, I was like, wow, I didn't know how to take that, because I hadn't ever seen that happen, really. But in my mind, see, after I sat down with it, I was like, wait a second. I'm a high level black belt. That, and in Goju Shore, I was expected to know that weapon form. I was expected to be able to do that. So why would that be a thing? Because they knew I had gravel in my shoes. And my instructor, of course, wanted to see my feet, and they were messed up pretty good. You know?
I can imagine.
Messed up, okay. And at the end of my class, you know, the black belts are often asked to, you know, to just, do you have anything you want to say, address the class, and so I had sat there, and I love my dad so much. He's so I don't know. I honestly don't know if he did that just as a challenge, because he came up with all kinds of challenges, man. Sure. You know, for every black belt, he would come up.
How far can we push?
Totally him? Different, you know, yeah. Someplace where he knew the waves would knock me over, or I'd get 1,000 mosquito bites or something. Seriously, that's what he would do. But this is my you know, my adopted father, and my Taekwondo instructor in Nashville then came over and seemed to see, make sure I'm okay, whatever.
Yeah.
At the end, she said, "Do you have anything you wanted to say?" And I said, "You know what struck me from what just happened is you guys gave me like this standing ovation." And my instructor said, "It's the only second time I've ever seen it." And I said, I just, it's not because I was like this amazing martial artist. Okay. I'm not going to say that I'm like something amazing. I'm not. I mean, the truth is, you know, I learned a lot and I'm skillful. I am skillful. There's no doubt about it, but I wouldn't put myself in any kind of amazing category. I said, so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, the reason they did that is because of the rocks in my shoes. The metaphor of that caused me to think to myself, that's where I need to grow. My dad gave me an opportunity to think of something, so I will. And I thought, that's one of the places I need to grow. I need to be more skillful at remembering everybody. Everyone has rocks in their shoes. No matter how they treat me, they're struggling with something. And maybe they know it. Maybe they don't know it. Maybe they're making that noble effort we talked about of getting better. And maybe they're struggling with it so heavy and hard that they don't have anything left to make that effort. They don't know how to make that effort.
Yeah.
But those are still gravel in your shoes. And I just asked my school, I said, so I think of it as I learned something I need to get better at. I'm going to make an effort to be better at that. I'm just going to ask you if you agree with that, to do that with me. And that made its way into this wow. This song this time, you know, because of that.
That's so cool.
But it's like, you think about it, Kyle. I mean, like, there's something there's something you're going to be hurting about. And it could be, you know, it could be physical too, but emotional, psychological. And then you don't want someone else to know.
Yeah.
Either you're embarrassed about it, or it doesn't fit, or you don't think somebody's going to think as much of you, you know, or whatever. And you sort of pull it in, you push it down, you know, and it's in there. And then if you do that too much, then it kind of builds up, you know, but you still got that gravel in your shoes. And the minute someone gives you grace about that, you know, to go, I get it, man. I get it. Please, you know, like, come on, it's human. You're human. You're human. And you're awesome at the same time.
Sure.
Whenever that comes up, you know, it's like it's a huge thing. And I think every human feels that.
I think you're right. That's actually really cool. And I'll tell you this is that one, that metaphor is pretty awesome. And honestly, like, I'll probably start telling myself that everyone's got gravel in their shoes, right? God knows I do, because, you know, like one random thing, right? Like you're talking about this thing that's like, you know, that's pushing down is I have a lot of anxiety about flying in planes, right? I hate it. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Don't know what it is. And I'm flying to Nashville in 2 weeks, right? If you're listening to this now, I just came back. But if I'm flying to Nashville in 2 weeks, and I'm terrified because I got to get on this plane, right? And I'm like, I don't know what to do, because I want to go. I want to have a good time. But the thing that's blocking my enjoyment of getting excited for this trip is that I got to go to this airport and get on this plane, right? So, I keep telling myself that, like, if I tell more people that I don't like to fly, there's probably all these other people that also don't like to fly. That'll make it easier, because everyone's got their own little thing. Right. And I think it's helped. I don't really know. We're going to find out in 2 weeks if it's really helped, but that's really cool that you're saying that, you know, like, everyone's got something going on, and you're relating it to all these things, and it's going into your songs, right? Like, that's what I think is super cool. At what age did this whole gravel in your shoes story, like, what age were you? Do you remember?
Well, I was living in Nashville. Rebecca would have still been pretty young. I'm going to say it was, this is a guess, dude, late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
Something like that.
So you were off and
maybe
running.
30, I was 30 something, something 30, sure. Maybe. I don't know.
You were like off and running. You were writing songs and you were also doing this at the same time. And I bring that up because, you know, like, if you look at the the songs that you've written for other people, and then I really want to dive into your stuff, especially this Wyoming record. But you know, if you look at some of these songs, just your number ones, right? Like you have Colin Wright, Love Me, great song. Diamond Rio, I Believe. Kenny Chesney, You Had Me From Hello. Like there's so many other songs that you've written that are just incredible songs. And after talking to you, like, I realized that there's all these other things that also enhance your songwriting, right? Like it's not just cut and dry of every day I woke up and every day I sat down and wrote a song with someone. Like it's, and maybe you did that, but it's not just that cut and dry. There are so many other experiences that you went through in life that helped you write these types of songs, whether they be for yourself or for other people. Would you agree?
Well, I've always felt like I tried to bring whatever my experiences in life were to the table. You know, when we all want to be clever and come up with a hook, some of the songs that I write, they're not really coming from a hook necessarily, but I'm often listening to where we are similar, so that somehow our human experience is the same, to leave room in an idea or a song for you to put your own experience in there when you listen as a listener. And that just comes from, again, I think just kind of being present in life. What was my experience of it? And can I imagine someone else's experience? That's another thing. Like I was talking about horses, like imagining, okay, he's got four legs and he can't move the same way I do. He doesn't see the same way. I've got to think about, okay, well, so how does he see me and how am I going to be kind to him? How can I invite him to work with me in a way that feels good to him?
Right.
Well, that's the same kind of effort as how can I offer you something that, how can I invite you skillfully enough to listen to one of my songs? Yeah. So that you'll think about, you know, you go ahead and listening to this song, because I can't make you listen. I can't make you like it, but I can also bring some things into, you know, to a song that are like, oh man, that's human experience. That's rough. That's heartbreak. Or that's, you know, that's someone passing, and that's, or that's like, so all those things, for me, at least, all those things come to the table in the songwriting, but just from an overall artistic effort. You know, and what's the energy I want to put back in the world, man? What do I want to? So I want to write what someone else didn't.
Yeah.
You know, I want to offer something that maybe that only I would say it that way. You know, I mean, when I say it, because of my experience and because of my approach to the writing, I found that I like to write by myself sometimes, because the truth is sometimes I couldn't explain it without writing it.
Yeah.
It's like trying to explain poetry sometimes. I'll still co-write, but haven't done it very much, you know. But when I do, I take a little bit more time, and maybe I'm not saying I do it the best, but I do it the best I can.
Yeah.
And I try to offer something that is where I get to the end and I say, did I say that? Did I say what I wanted to say just the way I wanted to say it? And if I did, then I did my job, you know, and okay, that's right. If there's a question mark anywhere in it, I'm going to look more deeply.
Sure.
I wanted to go back and just like, this is the human journey, right? That we're talking about.
Yeah.
So even if we were writing a song, well, we were like, had to do business, but you're another human walking the world and I am too. And then you brought up something like, you have anxiety, you're afraid to fly. I think you used the word afraid. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
that's fair. I'm totally afraid.
Causes you anxiety.
Yeah.
And I'm no psychologist. I'm no, you know, psychiatrist, psychologist. I'm not just another human walking the planet. Okay. On this one. But like, there's something like when you say that I hear that I like to, another things that I like to do with words that help us look at something differently. And one of the things is that, if you take the words mindset, that, again, this is like martial arts, Tai Chi stuff, but it's pretty cool. Mindset, set means like you're just one place. You're there, okay? But you don't want to be there. So how can that be flexible? So what if you said a mind posture? Because you can change your posture.
Sure.
You can adjust your posture, right? So it's adjustable. So it's in something that's in flow. It's something that's in flux, and it's something that doesn't have to remain. So it's not a mindset, and it's a mind posture. Then you can say, well, I'm a human. I can change my mind. I can work with, I can work with the way that I perceive things. I can go, what is, what, you know, what am I actually afraid of?
Sure.
And then what are the, and there's lots of ways to work with that. But I think it is, like, for instance, if you find anything like that, and you probably got other stuff, because everybody does, everybody got something that bugs them, or
everyone.
It can be that simple, all the way up to, believe it or not, as far as I know, there are people who are debilitated by fears like that. Yeah. And you can't take that lightly. You have to put your arms around something. This is a human experience. It's not funny. It's not, you know, but like, you're working on it. So yeah. For me, I go, okay, mind posture maybe. And I go, okay, you know, I'm like, that's something I'm, it's not something I'm happy with, but how can I experience that and look at my own experience? Sometimes, man, that's courage. Go, this is not fun. It's manifesting itself in my body somehow, in my mind. And why am I doing that? And when I see why I'm doing it, can I ask myself the question, why does that bother me so much?
Yeah.
And should it, you know, and I don't know, just the effort of exploring things, the asking the question, the being you know, curious about yourself. See, Kyle, I don't know you. I just met you, but I dig that about you.
Yeah.
Like, you can, if you can be curious about yourself and go, I'm going to improve, that tells me, or that I'm going to feel better, but that tells me you can do that for other relationships, friendships, whatever awesome human existence that we have, that we see in others. So that's me celebrating you right there.
I love that, man. But you know why? That's really cool. Mind posture. I'm going to use that. I promise you. Like, that's something that's going to go into my head, because here's the thing is, like, for me, right? Like, I guess maybe I was trying to do that without actually doing it. Right. Because, or without saying, without knowing exactly what I was doing, because for me, like, taking that first step was buying the ticket. Right. And then the second step is going to be going there and doing it and adjusting and saying, okay, well, I can do this. Like, I just have to adjust how I'm feeling. Right. Like, and it might take a second. It might not be easy. Like, there, I might have to go for a walk and, you know, like, pace back and forth until it's ready to go, until I'm ready to go. Right. But like, but then I also think that just repetition and doing things more, like, I'll know that, okay, yeah, maybe I don't enjoy, yeah, maybe I don't enjoy it, but the more I do it, the more I'll lessen that fear of why I don't like it. Right. And maybe not, but you don't know unless you try. And I really appreciate that, because I already feel a little bit better, right? Like, every time I talk about it, I get little butterflies in my stomach, because I'm like, oh geez, like, even just thinking about it. But even right now, I'm like, hey, like, I can fucking do this. Like, this is gonna be fine. Like, I'll be all right. And mm-hmm. It might stink in the moment, but once I'm there, like, I think I can do it. I really appreciate that. I think it's really cool. And I don't know, like, man, like, I think that was awesome. So I appreciate you telling me that. And I can do it. I'll be all right. You know what I mean?
All right. Good, man.
I love it. So let's talk about Wyoming, right? So we talked about Knots that came out recently. We're going to talk about this new one that's coming out too. But let's talk about Wyoming. I love this project. I've been listening to it since it came out in 2020. The Juggler is probably my favorite song. Love that concept. There's just so many things about this record that I love. And I just think that after meeting you and getting to know you, like, I now know why this record makes me feel the way it does. And I think that these songs are very intently written for a reason why they're there. But talk about the inspiration of the record and why you decided to go about and put it out now. It was a good, like, 10 years since the last time you put music out. So just kind of talk about it a little bit.
Well, man, Reader's Digest condensed version, I've been writing songs in, you know, in Nashville, and it just got to where I couldn't write songs that fulfilled me.
Yeah.
Make a living doing it at the time. Radio wasn't in the same space as the things that I wanted to write, or there was so little of my music that would ever be heard if I continued. And then at the same time, I had really been coming to Wyoming in the summer times or whatever, and I had fallen in love with spending time with horses. It was just like an eye-opening day when I went, man, I've got a different relationship with this horse than I have ever given myself, than I've ever given this wonderful being credit for. And I started looking at that horse's life and what it had to do and what I was asking of it. And it sort of changed my sensitivity to spaces that I was in. And I thought, man, if I could dig into that. And at that point in my life, I went, boy, if there's ever a time, it's right now. I'm going to sell. I sold everything. I sold my house. I sold everything except, you know, instruments and art and some stuff that, you know, that I had. And I went on the road and I studied horsemanship. I did all kinds of stuff, you know, differently, but most of it was around horses. Everything from, you know, everything from putting riding programs together for private ranches to, you know, working for in situations where I could just work with myself and work on horses and train, or I traveled with someone who gave clinics and helped with that. And that led me to Texas in different times. I met my wife down there, and then ultimately we just made a decision to come to Wyoming. And because it was the most beautiful place, it felt like the place to put roots down in.
Yeah.
She got a job shooting a television show for a horseman up the hill, up on Togedee Pass. And it gave me a bunch of time. I was caretaking a property, a beautiful ranch. I was caretaking this property. And I had some time on my hands, and I just grabbed my guitar. Now, I'd never really just completely given up on music. Don't get me wrong. I could still play. But I wasn't trying to write for it. And I just kind of had some ideas that I would have maybe turned into poetry that needed to be. And I started writing, and it just sort of started coming out, things that I wanted to say. I didn't really think about how I wanted to say it. I just, you know, I mean, when I knew what I wanted to say, then looking at different ways to say it, I played Linda a few of the songs, and she just said, honey, it's just, you know, it's just you. And it doesn't sound like anything else, anybody else. You've got to do it. And so ultimately I reached out to Kyle Lenning, you know, asked if he could produce with me. And when he said yes, that was just another door that opened. And then all of the musicians who were willing to come and play, just the very best of the best, loved what I did. I was humbled by that. And then we came up with that project. And, you know, in there, I wrote like a lot of things that are different. They look at things differently. I mean, honest to God, I wrote a song on there called Petroglyph that I really love, you know. And for me, Petroglyph, that's a song that's as much about nuclear war, the threat of nuclear war, as it is the loss of any indigenous peoples. But I mean, shoot, Kyle, it's a rock carving who's singing the song, you know. And the juggler, the metaphor of having someone who is juggling everything in their life, including on stage, that's another place where we, for instance, connect. And the juggler, I think that removes what the proscenium between, you know, that's the line between the stage and the audience. And it just makes us the same. Some of us, we juggle on the stage, but all of us have the same struggle with our hearts. It's the same. And, you know, Cowboy Inside, I wrote about a real person, you know, who was, he was older, but he was still that guy. He still had that passion and that strength and resolve and humanness and vibrancy inside him. Even when he was old, his spirit and we've all got that. We've all seen that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to write a song about, you know, a guy who loved this woman, but he speaks like he's in the 1800s. You know, he doesn't say things the same way. I love getting to do that. And I got to talk about someone who loves someone so much that they were true to them over a lot of time. And then, you know, dies in the mountains somewhere, loving her, you know, hope I didn't blow that song with, that's called Margolaine. So I just jumped in and went, what's coming to me? And how can I make some moments happen with that are going to invite people differently? And that's what I hoped for, is the only way that I could get back into it. And I think we've made some steps that way for sure.
I think you absolutely did. And what I think is the coolest thing, well, one, the fact that Wyoming is written because of Wyoming is like pretty awesome. I mean, like, I don't know. I just think the song
Wyoming.
Yeah, I just think that the concept is really cool of the whole project. And there's something you said earlier that really sticks with me, is like, I'm a 25-year-old dude from Northern New Jersey, right? And the one thing that is constant in my life, and I've said this a lot, is that no matter where you turn, if you think no one is there, music is there, right? And for me, that's country music. And there's, you know, I listen to other genres as well, but for me, that main constant is that country music is there. And, you know, when I decided that country music was something I loved, you know, a little later in my early on in my teenage years, like I decided the reason why was because I was listening to something that there was a purpose to the song and I was able to relate to it. And I'm not saying that every part of every country song is relatable to a guy who grew up, you know, in the typical suburbs of Northern New Jersey, but something that you said that really stuck out was that you wanted to write a song so that no matter who was listening, they were going through this same human journey, whether they be the same type of person as you or someone different or someone who lives in Wyoming or someone who lives in New Jersey. Right. Like, and when I listen to this record, that's exactly what I hear. There are themes in every single one of these songs that I say, wow, like, I don't know if I've heard a song written this way before, or I don't know if I've heard this type of verse before, or the topic that's being discussed in the song. Like, there are a lot of things about this record that you don't hear every day, and I think that's why I love it. So I've been listening to it for, you know, going on 4 years or whatever it is, and so I love it. So I think it's awesome, and I am glad that it's gotten the love it deserves, and that, you know, you were able to do a project for yourself and write what you wanted to write and say what you wanted to say. I think that's really important. So it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. And, you know, it's almost like Wyoming is just now starting to be discovered. I know that's odd, but it is. I mean, you know, it's the discovery portion. It's like getting to do podcasts like this with you. You know, people will discover it, because it's not something that I could even make for mainstream country radio. It's mm-hmm. just not something we could have done for that. But I am thinking of the people who will listen, and what's happening is I'll get to go out and play that. Yeah. And you said something that really kind of honors me. Like, you heard something that you hadn't really ever heard written quite like that before. Yeah. Okay. That's part of my aspiration. Yeah. I want you to find something. One of the things that Kyle and I talked about in the studio, he had someone, I think it was a student, at some point he asked a couple of people, hey, what is it when you go and you want to listen to a record, what are you looking for? And the one guy said, I'm looking to be surprised.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he was moved by that, I'm moved by that. It's like, yeah, I want to do something that surprises you. I want to do something that is like either new or something that makes you go, whoa, okay, wait, that's cool. That woke me up a little bit. Or, you know, and art is like that. Sometimes I think we leave that space out of it. But for me, I don't approach songwriting any different than I have seen anyone approach painting. It's the same to me. It's the same sort of depth of light and shadow and scope, and how, you know, how far the camera gets pulled out or how close it gets pulled in. And so much of that I'm hoping to offer to someone who's willing to listen. And that's the artistry of that, to be able to take, maybe sometimes to break the rules on purpose, you know?
Yeah, totally. In a world where I think people are trying to chase the next hit, it's really refreshing to hear you speak about approaching your music in a fairly simple way, in the way you approach the actual process of the writing the song. But at the same time, like, it's not like you're writing incredible songs. And I think that it's super, super cool to say, to show that you say you're not approaching it in any way that an artist, like, it's the same way an artist approaches painting a picture, right? Or painting whatever they're painting, right? Like, that seems so simple, but yet that's so in depth at the same time. And I just love it, man. I love songwriting, and everything you say is exactly why I love songwriting. So it's really cool.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why though. It's like, I love songwriting because I was, I was a kid trying to find my next music venture, right? Like I always loved music. I always loved listening to music. But for some reason, when I was, you know, 13 years old, I'm listening to a lot of stuff my friends are listening to. And it's not fulfilling me. It's not giving me those, like, it's not letting the hair on my arms are not standing up because I'm listening to these songs. And I always had that feeling as a kid growing up, you know, as my dad is introducing me to certain albums and certain artists, and I feel a certain way, and I stopped feeling that. And then I started listening to country music, and I said, whoa, like, this feeling that I've been searching for is back. And then I started to loosely study songwriting as I got older, right? And I said, okay, well, I guess this is why I like a song, and this is why I like these types of songs, and why I like these types of songs. And it's not like I'm going down a history book, right? Like, I'm not going to teach a class about songwriting because I don't know what I'm talking about, but I just know what I like. And I think that's really cool. So
that one thing right there is important. You just know, man, what you like. I like
that's
that.
That's it. Yeah, and you good. Do that. It's really cool. How about Road Dogg? Let's talk about that. Right. September 8th. If you're listening to this right now, I believe that this is going to come out on the exact day that the song comes out. It's a great song, great country song. It's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. And I wrote it on a whim, you know. Yeah. I wrote it. I take off. I like leave and just get somewhere by myself to write. Oftentimes don't want to be, you know, no technology necessarily, just guitars laying all over everywhere, playing whatever I'm thinking through. And sometimes I'll go through, you know, I don't know how many ideas and flush them out. So that's not really look. And I'll look and sometimes do that for, you know, for days, just have little pieces or come up with this little something in music or think there's something that needs to be said. And I just work with it, looking for what I know I want to put my energies in to finish, mm-hmm. you know, because if I finish it, then I think there's something there, you know, something that is, that stands up and goes, hey, this is unique. This is, you know, and, you know, you did say something about it, not necessarily playing as a hit or on country radio doesn't mean at the exclusion of, it just means being willing. Cause I'm still making albums. I'm still hoping that people will discover songs cause they come to that. Well, if they come to, and they won't go, well, what is Skip Ewing's writing like? Is it cool? Is it good? You know, I mean, that's what I do with James Taylor. If James Taylor puts the record out, you know, that he's written, I'm going to go and listen to it because I know there's going to be something of artistic value in there. It's going to enrich my journey in music and otherwise, even if it's the way he plays guitar or the way something is going to be, there's going to be just some beauty in that. There's going to be jewels in that.
Yeah.
And there's other people who are similar to that. Well, if I can do it skillfully, I'm hoping that I'm offering, you know, the same kind of thing. But that can be something that's really deep, and it can also be something that's really fun.
Yeah.
But for Road Dogg, to me, it's still deep, even though it's fun, right?
Yeah.
So Road Dogg is literally about that. It's the dog singing the song, and it's about being the same dog that everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if your dog is a wiener dog or if he's, you know, a 100-pound Pyrenees. They all have similar things. And Shotgun and the other dogs that are here, Addie and Penny, that we spend a lot of time with and other things that we do, man, they're with us all the time. I mean, there isn't a place in our life where there's not hay or dog hair.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm saying that. I mean, like, in our world, dog hair is like a fashion statement, and it's often a condiment, right? And hey, there's not a pocket of any, probably in this shirt, even though it's been washed, there's probably a piece of hay in it somewhere. I'm going to laugh if there is. Like, unbelievable. There totally is. Check it out. look at that hay in my pocket. Okay. So those kind of things are fun. And, you know, you see everyone's got their dog with them out here, but it's the same thing that happens in Texas. And then you can go to urban areas and, you know, someone's got their little dog kind of sitting on their arm with this little head looking out the window, or someone's got the golden retriever in the back looking out, you know, everyone's got them. And I think everyone loves their dogs. And so I had this cool little, it was almost a bluegrass vibe. I had messed with it, and I loved the riff. I loved the riff. And I was just sitting around for a long time. And then that day I was about to go, And I thought to myself as I was leaving, it's like, man, you know, I couldn't take shotgun where I was almost always there. I couldn't take shotgun with me to this place where I was. And I sort of missed him. And it was funny. I said, man, and I thought about all the ways that he was integrated into things that I did.
Sure.
That led me into thinking about his experience of seeing this is trading places again, thinking about his experience. And then all of a sudden I'm like, man, how fun could that be if he was literally, you know, and I wrote it, I wrote it over, I don't know, it took me a few hours to get the basics of it. And then I smoothed it out later and came up with the way the musical thing works with it.
Yeah.
I played it for Linda and she goes, honey, that is so fun. I said, is it crazy? She said, no, I think you make a cool record out of it. And then we did, you know, it starts off kind of bluegrass, a solo guitar thing. And then it comes in and then all of a sudden it turns into a full out Nashville with Telly Pickin from Brent Mason and, you know, and Josh Matheny on dobro and Janae Fleener on fiddle. I mean, you know, and I played banjo in it. Yeah. I mean, and it is just, it's a driving fun. But I like, he gets to go, you know, the dog gets to go talk about all the stuff, you know, yeah. Wet nose smudges on the windows. Sure. And you know, just, so it's fun to me. And when I sing it, I think it's something relatable. I can just crank it up on our dirt road driving somewhere. And hopefully other people will do the same thing. Because I think everyone knows one of those dogs.
Everyone knows, right? Like, I don't even have a dog and I know. Like, my girlfriend's got a mini wiener dog, right? And he's the cutest thing in the world. And he's got his little tiny car seat and he sits in his car seat in the car in the passenger seat. And it is the cutest thing in the world, right? But, like, you're right. And then you got, like, my buddy, he's got an 85-pound German Shepherd and she'll get in my car and it'll be great, right? Like, and I think you're right. Like, everyone can relate. Even if you don't have a dog, like, you know that feeling. You know that
you've seen it. You've seen it.
Like, you know exactly.
And if you love your dog, yeah. And if you love your dog, there's going to be something in there that, you know, head out the window, has to stop on the roadside. So it's the only thing that he needs. And then if we're going through a drive-through or a truck stop, I'm hoping there's something. If there's going to be is there going to be a chicken nugget or something for me? You know, they're like digging that. They want that, you know? And
so cool, man.
Yeah. Hey, so okay, if your girlfriend has a wiener dog or your other friends do, you know what we're doing for this song? One of the things that we're doing for it is we know so many people who have that kind of dog.
Yeah.
That I'm saying, all right. So we put a post out on social media and said, okay, we want to use your dog in the video. All right.
Yeah.
So send us a picture of your dog connected to this post and repost it. And then we're going to be like doing dogs of the week or dogs of the day. And then we're going to incorporate them into the actual road dog video with the dog's name and stuff. So if you got that, man, you got it.
I'll send it your way.
Your dog is photogenic enough. I'm not the one who's going to make the decision. There's other people who are putting the video together, but I know I'm going to have so many dogs that I just smile about, you know, because it's fun. And there's a connective. There's a connectivity about that, if that's the way to say it. There's a community. If you own a dog, there's a community about it. Like everyone. Like, I don't know anyone who doesn't like to see those, like a, you know, one of the Instagrams with the kids getting, you know, 10 puppies all over them, or the dog barking or singing or, you know, playing with each other. Because, man, it makes our world more beautiful. We're like connected to other beings. And I know, I think there would be an emptiness of spirit without that. You know, my wife and I, man, there's always something furry around. I mean, there's always something with four legs, at least, you know. It was what we call them, the four leggers and the two leggers, you know. Sure. So cats and dogs and horses and all kinds of stuff out here, you know. But yeah, there's a connectivity and people want to share that. And again, I'm like, well, I'd like to celebrate that. If you're proud of your dog, I want to show it off too. So
right.
let's get it in a video. And I asked Linda and I asked our marketing company, I said, is there a way we could do that? You know, would that be a crazy undertaking? We'd get so many pictures. but then we could use all these people's dogs in it. It would be super fun, you know. I mean, whatever pictures, anything traveling, you know, like in the car seat is fun, in the basket, on the plane, you know, on a train, running through the park, playing frisbee, whatever it is that you had to, you know, you had to go there. Walking is still being, you know, taking a trip. As far as a dog is concerned, if it's leaving the house, we're going somewhere, man.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Shotgun, he just wants to be involved,
sure.
You know.
Sure.
And he's big enough that we have to put the back seats up in the truck.
What kind of dog is he?
He's a Pyrenees Australian Shepherd mix. Yeah. So he's close to 100 pounds. He's long. He's so long. If he puts his feet up on Linda's shoulders, his head is as high as she is, you know.
That's awesome.
And he's thin. He's not like the big husky. His mom was a Pyrenees and was born in a trailer park in Texas. And there were 10 of them. And, you know, big dogs like that are hard to place. And then there was an adoption agency in Nashville that we know about, and we found out about them. And, it, you know, we had been looking for the right to take a dog in our situation that other people couldn't, because he's got plenty of room, even though our house is small. And so that's what we did. So he loves to be, you know, in the truck, and he's funny. He's a funny one.
I love it. If you're a dog lover, I mean, the song's for you. And if you're listening right now, the song's out now. I think I did the math correctly while we were sitting here.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure
if you're listening to it now, it comes out September 8th. So if it's September 8th, it's out.
Yeah, listen to it. Go listen to it. Tell us you're listening to it. Share it. Tag us both. I think it's an awesome song. I love the instrumentals in it. It's fun. It's a fun country song, and I just think it's fantastic. And you know, everyone's a dog lover. So
if you want your dog in the video, now that's for real. If it's September 8th, and you want your dog in the video doesn't come out for another week or two. So there's still time to
I'm gonna put out if you're listening right now, a couple weeks ago, I'm gonna put out a, I'm gonna share that post and tag people, like probably I'll do it within today or tomorrow, and I'll tag people and tell them to send the picture of their dog over and attach to the post and you know, go through all the steps, and hopefully we get a few people that'll say, oh, you know, I'll send a picture.
Cool, yeah, man. Well, I'll just I think we're gonna start, this is something that Caitlin's gonna help us with, our folks at the marketing company. And what a blessing. I'm sure glad I got to talk to you, Kyle. You have great energy, man. I appreciate the invitation.
I appreciate that. You too, Skip. But, you do too.
But yeah, man, we'll have a post up. Just make sure if you see it, if you can share that for us, that would be great, because, you know, we're always hoping for ways to let people to discover, you know, what I'm about. Could this song be played on the radio? Heck yeah. Is Knott's is getting played on the radio at Texas Regional Radio. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, you know, that kind of stuff. Road Dog. Yeah. I still think there's room for groove like this.
I think there is.
Fun, man. You know, we got to do that sort of howl harmony at the end of it. It's fun.
I think there's room, man. I think we're going to hear it on the radio. I think it's fantastic. I love it. If you're listening now, go stream the song and share it with everyone, and share it with your fellow dog lover friends. It's absolutely fantastic. Skip, dude, thanks for coming to hang out with me. Thanks for coming to talk about your journey and your story and all the interesting things that you're into and your other passions. I think that's really cool. You know, thanks for bringing up the whole mental health thing or mental wellness thing and all of that. I think it's really important in a space where it's not talked about enough. I think it's important that, you know, we use my platform here to talk about that and express that. I think it's really important. Thanks for coming to hang out with me, man. I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
It's my pleasure, Kyle. Thanks for the invitation. Let's do it again.
Of course, anytime. Everybody, you can go follow Skip on Instagram at Skip Ewing, all one word. Go listen to his music wherever you listen to music, Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you listen to it, it's there. Wyoming's out now. Knott's is out now. Road Dog is probably out now too. So much great music to listen to and just awesome songwriting. Awesome songwriting. And just the coolest guy in the world. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars. If you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. It's there. Thanks again. This was awesome. Everybody, I'm Kyle Corbus. That's Skip Ewing. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Peace.